In the most sacred heart of Jesus, we come to grasp in some terms the immense, immeasurable love that God has for each one of us and for all of us. And in some way, just what and how much love we must turn to the Heavenly Father, in what way we must return this love. So in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we see the perfect reflection of the same. We see in this Immaculate Heart all of the goodness of God poured forth upon creation. There in her heart, we see everything that God intended to pour out, all the love that God intended to shower upon all of creation. What we are saying, therefore, is that any love that God has shown, and immense indeed is the love that God has shown toward his creation, all this is summed up in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. There is no love that reaches any corner of the universe that is not Marianized. All the love of God for his creation passes through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. If he loves us, it is because first he loved Mary. And we discover what the meaning of God's love is for us only when we realize this fact, that he loves us because he loves Mary. And likewise, we understand in this perfect reflection of the heart of Jesus how it is that we return this love, how we begin to return it, how we continue to return it, and what is the end result, the culmination of this love. There we discover it in the heart of Mary. Indeed, just as the love of God does not reach us except through the heart of Mary, so our love will never fully reach God. It never reaches God except through the heart of Mary. This is the way that God has willed it to be for all eternity. So the beginning of our love to God, the beginning of the love that we show God, the middle, you might say, at every step along the way of our loving God, the end, the culmination of the love that we give to God, the completion of our sacrificial offering, we see reflected in the heart of Mary. And I mean this not only insofar as individual, insofar as the love that we individuals show, but also the love insofar as we, as members of the body of Christ, members of the church. And this is why in the encyclical Redemptoris Mater, Pope John Paul II talks about the pilgrimage of faith of the church mirroring the pilgrimage of faith of Our Lady. From all eternity, God intended to show forth his love via the heart of this noble lady. He had her in mind before the creation of the world, and he had in mind that he would not create the world, redeem the world, or bring the world back to himself in the end, except insofar as it involved the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Together, never separated from the Sacred Heart of the God-man Jesus Christ. In the life of Mary, we see that the love of God is fully poured forth into our heart at the very beginning. And we call this the Immaculate Conception. So there's never a time in the life of this creature that the love of God did not shine forth perfectly. And at every step along the way, he supported her with her love. And this is borne out by the fact that in the midst of the tremendous sufferings by which she united herself in sacrifice together with her son and his sacrifice, we see that she can stand tall. She can follow in the footsteps of Jesus as his premier disciple. And so there she is at the foot of the cross, being sustained by the grace of God, dying a mystical death, uniting herself to her dying son. She could not stand there at the foot of the cross had she not been sustained by the grace, the love of God. And then at the end of her life, the culmination of the love of God poured forth because she is assumed body and soul into heaven. And likewise, that love that she returns to God at the beginning of her life, throughout the course of her life, and at the end of her life. For she immediately turns to God at the moment of her conception, the first moment of her existence, and with all her being gives that yes, long before the yes that she uttered at the Annunciation. And throughout the course of her life is this constant submission, the loving submission to the will of God. For it is in this that love consists, the conformity to the will of God. This is what true love really is. And at the end of her life, the triumph that she secured together with her son Jesus over sin and death draws her ever closer to God until the end result of that love is realized. She is drawn into paradise. And so we see it reflected, or should see it reflected, in our lives. Certainly from God's perspective, this is borne out. For God loves us every step of the way. Even before we came into existence, God had us in mind, and he loved us from all eternity. But he didn't love us apart from the Virgin Mary. He loved us in her. He loved us in Christ, of course, but he loved us in Christ and Mary. So from all eternity, he had in mind the creation of you and of me. And that love was Marianized from all eternity. When we came into existence, then that love concretely was poured forth into our hearts, particularly at the moment of our baptism, when we were renewed in the grace of God. We became that new creature in Christ. And there was Mary receiving us into her arms, because the Church is none other than an extension of our Blessed Lady. And every step along the way in our lives, even when we falter, we stumble, we remove ourselves from God by sin, there he is pursuing us. And when we turn to him, he renews us by his grace, only through the heart of Mary. And if we fight the good fight, if we take up our Christian arms and wage battle in union with Jesus and Mary, who triumphed over sin and death definitively, then the love of God will grow in us until we too one day will be drawn up to paradise in his company. And how must we return this love that God has shown us? Well, we must approach the heart of Mary and learn at every step along the way to make that pilgrimage of faith just as she did, and just as she will give us the strength to do, to return the love concretely. See, it's not in the abstract. We don't have to wonder how it is that we are to return that love, because we see how we are to do so, because of the existence of this perfect creature. It doesn't make it more difficult for us, the fact that she's perfect. But because she is perfect, then we are unable to do so as well, you see. But it's not simply a question of being a model, but letting her be our mother, which she is, in fact, whether we acknowledge that to be the case or not. And so we will fall short in imitating this woman unless we realize that the love of God does not come to us except through her, and we will never be able to reach God except through her. But as I was saying, this does not apply only in the lives of individuals, but in the collective lives of men and women in salvation history. Whose key is the church. And so as we examine salvation history, we see the love of God becoming ever more evident, first poured forth in the creation of the world, then by his choice of a particular people through whom the Savior of the world was to come. And he gradually, ever more clearly reveals his love until his only begotten Son comes into the world, born, taken from the flesh of the Virgin Mary. And then we see the fullness of that love revealed. And then we see what that love means concretely through the life and the death and the resurrection of the Savior, and made plain to us in the heart of the mother, united always to her Son. And that love continues to unveil itself in the history of the church. We see this particularly in the lives of the saints who so closely united themselves to the hearts of Jesus and Mary and spur us on to do the same. And in the life of the church, we know, of course, that there are sinners in the church. But the church is already perfected in Christ, already perfect. But at the same time, each member of the body of Christ oriented toward perfection, so that at the end of time, we'll see that culmination of love. The triumph of Christ will be made evident to all. It's made evident in the lives of each one, and at the end of the world, it will be quite evident, quite public for each and every man and woman. So it is in the life, collective lives of souls. God beckons us to return his love. And we do this most perfectly in the bosom of the church, in the heart of the church, the extension of Mary. How is it then that we go about doing so as individuals and members of the church? One word expresses this quite succinctly. That word is consecration. Or in a few more words, consecration to the Immaculate Heart. There is how we will find our true place in God. It is what the great saints, particularly of modern times, realized needed to be forcefully proclaimed. And it could not be any other way, because if in the Virgin Mary we see the beginning of the love that we must return to God, what we must do in the course of our life to return the love, and we see in this heart the culmination of the love we must return, then it becomes evident also in the history, salvation history, that this woman must become ever more prominent in history. Where she was nearly obscure when she walked the face of the earth, now she must become ever more prominent. That heart must be ever more exalted as we draw near to the end of time. And so this plan of exaltation of the heart of Mary necessarily involves devotion to her heart, consecration. And what is consecration, if not the complete donation of one's person, the giving of one's person, setting aside of one's person? Per se, consecration is aimed at God. Why do we consecrate ourselves then to Our Lady? Because she is all about God. That's why we do this. At the end of time, everything will be about God. Now, everything we must strive to make all about God. And she will help us to do so. We see that in our heart. And she is the one who must help us to become ever more like God, right up to the end of our lives. And in salvation history, despite the fact that everything seems to be crumbling around us, yet there's a renewal going on that perhaps escapes our notice. So that just when everything seems lost, when it seems like the love of the world has grown completely cold, that's when the triumph will shine forth. And God's plan is for you and for me to share in that triumph. And this happens, will only happen, if we consecrate ourselves to the heart of this most perfect creature, the all-beautiful. So on this day when we honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary, let us ask, let us beg the good Lord that we will not be afraid to recognize God's love concretely evident in our lives through the heart of Mary, and that we will give ourselves concretely evermore through the heart of the Mother of the Savior of the world. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.